Proverbs chapter 14, please. Proverbs chapter number 14. Look at verse number 6. We'll go back and read what we read this morning. Proverbs 14, 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Father, thank you for the fact that we have this book before us that ever lives. It never changes. It's always the same. But the truths pass on from generation to generation. Thank you, God, for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for proving that love by your Son's death and his resurrection. Thank you for allowing us to assemble today, giving us health and the means to be here. We pray for our brothers and our sisters who tried to be here but could not. And we think about all of those that perhaps are backslidden and those who are not mindful of the Lord and his ways. And we pray, Lord, that you deal with that situation in their hearts, that you might bring them back into the fold. And sometimes we realize that those means are drastic. Lord, give grace tonight. Give liberty to think, to preach, the strength and the glory. We give all praise and credit unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Verse 14 is our text verse. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. We preached the first half of that this morning. The backslider in heart shall be filled. You might grasp that word, filled, with his own ways. And I said this morning, and I will repeat just a little bit, that oftentimes we see people in dire need and trouble, and we immediately, being the Christian that we are, and immediately wanting to show compassion and help, rush to the aid of those. Sometimes it's well-founded. I think you ought to pray about it before you ever do anything, honestly. Seek the Lord's will. See if it's right or not. Or see if God's chastening hand might be the reason for their dire straits. Oftentimes we don't know, and we misinterpret what the difficulty is, and sometimes it might be the Lord dealing with those individuals, and we want to correct it when there is no correcting except between they and the Lord. We talked about reaping what we've sown, and I told you this morning, and we have some that was in bus church and wasn't with us, but I said this morning this message was born out of some of my own family members reaping a life of decadence and, bad choices. There are always those on the sideline who only see the pain and the suffering and do not realize or are not spiritual enough to say that perhaps the Lord is involved in this situation, but they want to come to the relief of. And this happened recently in our family. And some in our hometown, you know, were talking about and help, wanted to help and do and be and so on and so on and throw money at the situation. When in reality, this individual is reaping now what they've sown their whole entire life. They've made a profession of faith. They belong to the Lord's church. They even had a father that was a preacher. And yet their life does not match up with what we think it ought to be. I said this morning that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. What we reap, what we sow, we reap. You know, sow to the flesh and reap of the flesh corruption. Sow to the spirit and reap life everlasting. And we listed all of those things, and we listed different kinds of backsliders and different kinds of situations and so on, and talked about them. And we didn't get them all in depth. Actually, there's more, but I ran out of time and ran out of space, so we won't go back there. But I do want to show you the second half of the message. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Exactly right. Exactly right. But look at the rest of it. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. There's a contrast. The backslider, the one who knows God, who has tasted the sweetness of Calvary. I love that song, you know, about what was it? Calvary wins? Calvary wins again. What a great song. Calvary wins again. Every time somebody gets born again, Calvary wins again. Every time a backslider comes back to the Lord, Calvary wins again. You know, every time God supplies a grace in our life to overcome a difficulty, you know, to endure what we endure, Calvary wins again. You think about it. What a great song, and I appreciate that so vitally. But I want to talk about this good man tonight. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. And we have to think about this in reference to this verse of Scripture to do it justice. I've read verse 6, which is true. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Who is that that understands? Well, the person that's been born again, the child of God who's been saved and tries to follow the Lord's commands and tries to do the will of God. He understands. The Holy Spirit is his teacher. The Holy Spirit is his guide. And even though the backslider is born again and the backslider has the Holy Spirit, he is not interested in doing the will of God. He's interested in trying to please the flesh and work for the flesh, and he's sowing to the flesh. And so of the flesh shall he reap corruption. But the good man, and I know what you say, there's none good but God. And you've heard me say it again. Is everybody good tonight? And yes and no. You know, there's not even one good, not even one. And that's so. But in the way that this is used in the Scripture, he's not talking about one trying to get to heaven. We're not getting to heaven by our goodness. We're getting to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. But actually, when you profess Christ, you do have goodness in you, in the shape, form, and fashion of the Holy Spirit who resides in you, who lives in you. And so you have the potential for good. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, okay. There's none good, okay. But the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means one who is interested in being near God, who is interested in following God. He's been born again, and now his outward expressions of that is loving the Lord and loving his word and trying to serve him. You know, serving God is not a drudgery. Serving God is a great privilege that we get to exercise and show God how much a little bit of how much we love him back just by serving him. Serving God is a joy. It's a thrill. Serving God feeds my soul. So, you know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man, one who serves God, one who loves the Lord, one who loves the Lord's people. It's not about the have-tos. It's about the want-tos. I want to serve him. I told you this morning, I've become addicted to the Lord. I love the manifestation of the Lord. He talked to me. He whispered in my ear during that Calvary wins again. I love it. And it's a great thing. I want you to notice the name of the one, not backslider. As we use that name this morning, in the second half of verse 14, we talk about the good man. God wrote it here. God put it down here. There's none good as far as, I already said it, trying to get to heaven. There's none good enough. But there are good men and women when you've been born again. There is a good man, shall be satisfied from himself. It does not say satisfied by himself. It does not say satisfied through himself. It does not say satisfied because of himself. It says satisfied from himself. Jesus said that he was the fountain of living waters. And he said something to the effect, I paraphrase, I can't pull the verse up, but it said that these rivers of waters would flow through us to others as we manifested his presence in our life. That others would be a participant in the living waters that flowed through us as being born again and right in the sight of God. And that would be part of what he says here about the good man shall be satisfied from himself, from inside. It's an inside job. And it's because he's been born again. I think every person that is here tonight would say, well, you know, preacher, you've taught us and we believe there's nothing good within us. And there really isn't in the flesh. But in the spirit, there's a whole lot of good in us when we've been born again. And so we want to talk about that and look about it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We not only are a new creation, we have a new heart. We have a new spirit. We're now a new creation. We have a good side. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote about it in Romans chapter 7. And Paul said, you know, I have a good and a bad. He said, when I would do good, the bad side shows up. Evil is present with me. He's talking about the flesh and the way that evil thoughts and jealousies and envies and all kinds of things flash through our minds at different times. And so Paul was saying, when I would do good, evil is present with me. So we know there's two sides. He said, I find then a warfare within me that constantly wars in the members of my body again and again and again. So we find, number one, we find the Christian pursuing the paths of righteousness and the way of faith, that he becomes filled and contented. The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. He is discontented. He is farther from the Lord. He is bitter. He is frustrated. There is no joy. There's no peace. There's no contentment in his life. A life of backsliding, away from God. A Christian away from God. A backslider. A person that's not born again can't be a backslider. He's never tasted the goodness of God to begin with. And so he can't go away from it. He has to come to it for the first time. So all of what is written here is in reference to a child of God and to those who claim to be righteous. We talked about those who made a false profession, who pretended to be something they were not, who looked righteous. The Apostle Peter writes about them in the second chapter of his writings, and he talks about false prophets and false teachers who looked apart and talked apart, but their whole priority was for themselves, and they led others astray. hell will not be so hot as it will be for those who use the name of Jesus for their own promotion and their own well-being, and led others straight into hell. I think about whole denominations that way. And then those who claim to be the priests of God and the emissaries of God that through the flesh act so kind and act so sweet, but the truth of the matter is not in their heart nor in their mouth. And the fact of the matter is it's only through the blood that we're saved. And if you don't preach the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not right with God. So we notice his name, and it says he's a good man. He's a good man. And a good man is on the side of good. A good man is not evil and will not allow evil thoughts in his mind, will not allow evil in his heart, will not have evil companions, will not have evil friends. A good man that is satisfied from himself is one who lives for God. And so any shape, form, or fashion of evil is contradictory to his nature and his character. Any form of evil, whether it be words or pictures or places or people, he will deny and not be around. The Christian pursuing the paths of righteousness walks in this area of faith and is filled and contented. Good man. I have a little poem, if I can pull it up, I think it is, right here. I need not go abroad for joys, I have a feast at home. My heart has ceased to roam. Down from above the blessed dove is coming to my breast to witness thine eternal love and give my spirit rest from within. Rest comes from within. Peace comes from within. Joy is an inside job. And so we find, Proverbs 14:14, that a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Let me show you how and why. Number one, he is independent of all outward circumstances. You know, oftentimes we think that people are the product of their environment or people are the product of their circumstances. I don't agree with that. I think that people are a product of either accepting or rejecting God and his ways. He is independent of outward circumstances. He joys in the Lord his God. This good man shall be satisfied from himself. Not satisfied in himself, but from himself. You've been born again. You're a walking vessel of the Holy Spirit who lives inside. God is inside. God's not just on the throne in heaven. He's inside every born-again believer. Thank God for that. So when we assemble together, not only do we bring our fleshly bodies here, we bring the Holy Spirit who's present with us here. Don't you think that multiplied over, there's more power and more presence of the Holy Spirit than if we were by ourselves out there somewhere? I think so. And I think that's the same picture that we get in the Shekinah glory of the temple and tabernacle of the presence of God there. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. This good man is not dependent on outward circumstances as those in the flesh or perhaps that backslider who tries to fit in with the crowd that he's around. I have a little saying written in the back of my Bible God gave me several years ago, and that is that people will compromise whatever it takes to fit into the crowd they want to belong with. And they will. And the sad thing about it is that you have weak-minded and weak-spirited Christians who desire to be with that crowd or that crowd, and they will compromise their Christian standards or separation. They will compromise their belief in some things so they can fit in with this group. And it just complicates and makes the backsliding even worse. But a good man is independent of outward circumstances. He learns to joy in the Lord as God. Number two, he's independent of his surroundings. his surroundings. I want you to look in Deuteronomy 33. I'm going to read a verse of scripture there. He's independent of his surroundings. Wherever he goes, Jesus is with him. He's independent of his surroundings. Man, I found that so true. Wherever I've been around the world, in Amsterdam, which is one of the most wicked cities on the face of the earth, God is there. In Central Asia, where they knew nothing much about Jesus Christ at all, and we were there trying to get some track interpretations done for gospel tracts to be printed. And we found fellowship, and we found a small circle of like believers, even in Russia, in Central Asia, and we found God to be there. South America, God is there. Mexico, God is there. Everywhere you go, Jesus is with you. This good man is independent of his surroundings. Wherever he goes, Jesus goes with him. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse number 23, you find the blessing of Naphtali. And he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessings of the Lord. O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. That's the good man, full of the blessing of the Lord. That's a good man who knows the presence of God and the hand of God upon him. And wherever he is, the blessings of God is full and filling his heart and his soul. Jesus says to the good man in the New Testament, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, I know I've claimed that at times, flying on an airplane, several miles above the earth and cramped in those seats, overseas flights. I've claimed that when in foreign countries you have no control over whether they throw you in jail or not and they accept or not accept your passport. I know we were down in Central Asia in Tashkent on one occasion trying to get out. We rode the bus in. We didn't have a visa. It didn't take a visa to get in, but it took a visa to get out. And they said, hey, where's your visa? We went to the airport to fly back to Moscow. And they said, where's your visa? We don't have one. Oh, this is not good. This is not good. They set us down together in a little cubicle. And I thought, oh, man, we're going to experience one of those gulags. Not good. And wouldn't you know, there was a, what would you call him? A Mongol? Is it Mongol? The native Indians there in Central Asia? Had his suitcase he was carrying. It was a big pasteboard box full of stuff wrapped up with a rope in four directions. And he heard us speaking. What are we going to do now? He spoke English. And he set his box down and he came over where we were and he asked us, he said, can I help you? We were just excited to hear English. It was like the Lord spoke to us. Can I help you? Man, we all got excited about this and we told him what the situation was and he kind of shook his head. We thought, oh no, if he thinks it's bad, we're really in trouble. And he went in and talked to the director at the airport and came back out and he said, well, he said, I have some bad news. I said, we expected it. This is going to cost money. We thought as much. We'd already been counting the cash everybody had. We knew it was going to come down to that. And we said, well, how much? He said, I don't know. Wait. He went back in. He came back out shaking his head like a lot of money. And it's this many rubles. And he's shaking his head. So many rubles. And we said, interpret. What is that? And $5. $5. It's going to cost us $5 for the visa. A piece? Yes. Okay. Were we elated or what? And so when it was all over, we tried to pay him. We tried to be a blessing. No. I mean, look, that had to be the hand of the Lord, don't you think? I mean, the guy wouldn't take anything. He was just trying to help the dumb Americans who got in without a visa. And what a blessing. I mean, what a blessing. Jesus said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. The good man recognizes that his satisfaction, his contentment, his help is an inside job. It's not dependent upon his surroundings. It's not dependent upon his circumstances. It's dependent upon the promises of God who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Proverbs 14, 14. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. It almost sounds repetitious when we read it again and again. But the fact of the matter is, it's the second part of the first. It's the second half of this great verse where the Lord is contrasting what it's like to be a backslider and what it's like to follow the Lord in truth and joy. The Lord contrasts. Have you ever, you know, I've not experienced everything. I've never experienced drunkenness. I've never experienced a drug high. I've never done drugs. I don't know what it's like, but there's some things I'm experienced at. And backsliding's one of those. And I know the horribleness of it. I know how evil it can be. I know how empty you can feel. I know how disappointed you can be in yourself. And yet you wonder, is there any way out? And of course there is. For those who repent and come back to the Lord, for those who wake up and realize where they are and what their condition is and come back and desire my heart to be warm like it was when I got saved. I want a close walk with the Lord like I had before. I'm not contented out here in this world by myself and trying to be like a fish out of water. It's horrible. And truly it is. I've experienced that. Mine went so far as to become fear. Fear that perhaps I never was really saved. What am I doing out here by myself? You know, the Apostle Peter said that we can go so far backwards that we forget that we've been born again. And so it's horrible. It's a horrible place to be. But thank God he's like the prodigal son's father, who anxiously waits for us to come back. Thank God for that, huh? And he says, a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Why? Because here's another thing. Number four, I think it's number four. I'm not sure where you are. Number four, a good man has faith in his heart. A good man, rather than sowing to the flesh and sowing evil and sowing wicked. Okay, so a backslider. Maybe he's one of those church members that's not out in drunkenness, but he's backed away from God to some degree. Well, have you ever heard people say, well, I've been hurt. I've been hurt before. I don't want to get involved again. Well, people hurt you. God don't hurt you. You know? Well, I've been offended. Well, pity you. You know, you can choose to be offended or choose not to be offended. You can choose to serve God or not to serve God. And so people oftentimes base their life and their experience and their backslidings is because they've been hurt. And so they've withdrawn to some degree. And they're only hurting themselves. They're not hurting anyone else. A backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Faith is in the good man's heart. Faith. An acrostic, forsaking all, I take him. Faith in every area of life, forsaking all, I take him. Habakkuk said in chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. The New Testament says we walk by faith, not by sight, again and again. Something I found out to be true years ago, and I wrote down the back of my Bible. It's called daily faith, faith every day. Listen to this. You can't live tomorrow on yesterday's faith. Well, I've got faith. I have faith. Okay, but the devil's going to come tomorrow again. You're going to have to exercise faith again. You know, the walk of faith ought to be a daily accord with a child of God. walking by faith, trusting Him, forsaking all, I take Him. You can't live tomorrow on yesterday's faith. Faith must be renewed or recommitted every day. Every day. Well, I find something else that goes on in life. I love it. He says, years ago, on Mark 11:24, faith is a collateral. How many of you ever borrowed money? You got to have collateral. It's called that stuff you put up in case you default. They take it from you. Faith is a collateral whereby we're able to draw from heaven's bank. I like that. Faith is a collateral whereby we're able to draw from heaven's bank. So the good man is satisfied from himself, not really by himself, but from himself as the living water flows outward in those areas. May I also say to you, in thinking back about that sermon that I preached about living waters flowing from us, bitterness, unforgiveness can stop the flow from you to anyone else. If you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, you have a lack of faith in your heart, you stop that flow of the living waters of Jesus Christ. So faith is in the good man's heart. Not only that, but he's filled with the grace called hope. Hope is not a chance. Hope is a steadfast something, whatever it is. My hope is based on yeah, there you go. He's filled with hope. In the book of Titus chapter 2, I want you to look at it, that a good man is contented and happy from himself because it's an inside job. A good man is filled with this grace called hope. In Titus chapter 2, you look down in verse 11. For the grace of God, that's His favor upon us. Thank God for it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that's what oftentimes the backslider lives in, worldly lust. It may not be that fleshly lust. It may not be the lust of a man or the lust of a woman, but it could be the lust of monetary products. It could be the lust of the prestige of the world or the accolades of the world, the recognition of the world. Man, look, I pulled myself up and I did all of this and look where I am today. Yeah, it could be all of that kind of stuff. A backslider will be filled with his own ways, but a good man is filled and happy and contented from himself, from that inside job. He's filled with this hope. And Paul writes and he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. In other words, anxiously waiting for, anxiously readying ourselves for the appearance of that great hope that God told us about, which was He Himself who would appear to us, the godly heart. This man is filled with hope again and again, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus. Do you think that the backslider is consciously looking for that? No. Do you think the backslider is consciously living in an effort to live righteously and godly? No. If he was, he'd be nearer to God. He'd be close to God. He's filled. This good man is filled with the grace called hope. I want you to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Paul writes and he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. You're born again. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. No anticipation of seeing them again. No anticipation with pleasure or confident expectations. No hope. Man, look, I've done funerals where there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And people wailing like, it's all over. Oh no, so-and-so's gone forever. And crying out loud, just, I mean, and wailing like you would think they did in biblical days. No hope. Look, the homegoing of a Christian is a promotion, not a demotion. And we haven't lost them. We know exactly where they are when they've gone on to be with the Lord. What hope? He says that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And I have to tell you that the backslider has forgotten about this hope. The backslider is not focused on this hope. A backslider is filled with his own ways, remorse and bitterness and anger and jealousy and envy. He's filled with it and he thinks everyone else is filled with it as well. But it's not true. This good man keeps his eyes focused. This good man keeps his spirit focused, his life focused with this hope. We have a steadfast hope in Jesus Christ. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, well, he just said, I'm going. If I go, well, the day when you see him ascending off of the Mount of Olives, he ascended up into the clouds and they watched him go. He said, if I go, well, we just saw him go. So here's part of the promise. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's our hope. Hey, look, the good man bases his life, his direction, his purpose, his energy, his desires upon the hope. Not a chance, but upon the steadfast promise that Jesus gave us. He's coming back for us. Hey, that's great. That's great. You know, when I was a child, they told me, they said, I learned some valuable lessons. I was at a state fair in Arkansas. More people than I'd ever seen in my life there. And I was just a little child. My mother and father took my sister and I to the state fair so we could see all the livestock and the exhibits and all the things that went on. And we were walking down the fairway and met my uncle and his wife and his two kids. And mother and dad said, well, we're going to go down here and we're going to look at this exhibit. And they said, well, we're going to go over here and we're going to do so and so. And so so I'm saying, can I go with Uncle Robert? And he said, well, yeah, I'll go with them. So I took off with Uncle Robert. And then I changed my mind, you know, 30, 40 yards out. I said, no, I'm going to go with Mom and Dad. Okay, okay. And I ran back and I couldn't find them. They were gone. I was just a little kid. I don't know, little kid. I was little for my age. 10, 9, 10, somewhere in there. I thought I got lost. I couldn't find Mom and Dad, so I ran back to the uncle. He was gone. I couldn't find him. So I ran around the, I thought, man, where was it they said they were going? And I couldn't find it. I got panic stricken. You know, I thought all hope is gone now. Man, it's over. I don't know where I'm going to end up. And I happened to see a policeman. And I walked over and I pulled on his arm. I said, you know what? I'm lost. He said, come with me. He took me over and there was these guys riding these motorcycles, you know, round and round in this big tube. And the guy was hawking it and the policeman said, hey, buddy, come here. He came over and he said, this boy's lost, blah, blah, blah. He said, what's your name? I told him my name. He said, okay, okay. So he said, come up here on the platform. I got to sit on one of the motorcycles. And he started announcing that I was lost. There I was. And I looked that crowd over. I couldn't see anybody I knew. And they were all staring at me. Boy, I was embarrassed. But hey, finally, Somebody heard it, and I could see somebody coming through the crowd. It was like that woman that went up and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She went on a purpose. There was a whole mass of people there, but she had a purpose. And I could see one coming. It was my mother. And man, I told her, I said, there's my mom. Boy, was I excited. My hope was restored. Look, Jesus is coming again. And we have hope. We know a steadfast promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Notice this good man. He's good because he has a godly heart that's satisfied. His godly heart is satisfied. Why? Because of what love brings him. I want you to notice, I thought about a song when I was putting that message together. And it's in our hymnal. We sang one just across the page from it a few moments ago. And it's 545. It's Jesus Loves Even Me. Hey. The godly heart is satisfied because of what love brings him. I'm so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Oof. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. Ah, I love that song. It came to mind when I was putting that together. The godly heart is satisfied by what love brings him. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus brings me love, and love brings me to Jesus. Oh man, listen, the backslider has forgotten that great love. The backslider has forgotten that great compassion and strayed away and is more interested in satisfying the desires of the flesh than he is in trying to be close to the Lord. The godly heart is satisfied with what love brings him. Not only that, but love brings sweet rest and sweet peace. Matthew chapter 11, you know what it says. In Matthew chapter 11, that great some people say it's the greatest verse in the whole Bible, but nevertheless, Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Love gives us rest. So while the backslider's busy trying to fit in with the crowd that he wants to fit in with and has gone far from the love of God, whether he's in fleshly sin or not, or whether it's, you know, the church member whose heart has started growing cold and it has cooled off from its love towards the Lord, nevertheless, there is no rest and there is no peace in that kind of fleshly desire. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Oh, what happens? A godly heart is satisfied with what love brings him. Love brings him sweet rest. Not only that, but love brings sweet joy to the soul. Hey, there it's plain. It's just as plain, my grandmother would say, it's just as plain as the nose on your face. Right there it is. That a good man shall be satisfied in himself. Or from himself. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. In John chapter 15, I want you to see it. In John chapter 15, the statement is made by Jesus himself. In John chapter 15, that love brings joy to the soul. Look at verse number 10. If you keep my commandments, do you think the backslider is interested in keeping the commandments of the Lord? Not at all. No, they wouldn't be backslidden if they were interested in keeping the commandment of the Lord. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, this overshadowing of the love of God. We stay in the shadow of his wings. We stay in the shadow of his love. We keep ourselves in the shadow of his love. We keep ourselves there. How? By keeping his commandments. These things, verse 11, have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I like full. I like the word filled and full and fullness and overflowing and abundance. And he talks about our joy, the joy of the Lord in our soul being full, plentifully supplied. God is not cheap. He overflows to us. Love brings joy to the soul. While the backslider is misery and soul, and the backslider is searching for something and he doesn't know what oftentimes, and the backslider begins to criticize and complain others, this good man finds rest from himself because on the inside there's all these things that he's sowing to. He's sowing love, he's reaping love. He's sowing hope, he's reaping hope. He's sowing faith, he's reaping faith. In all of these instances, love brings unbroken fellowship with Jesus Christ. Love brings unbroken fellowship. I told you on several occasions, I've become addicted to the Lord. I'm addicted to his fellowship. Now, in my age, I don't know if it's my age or if it's spiritual maturity or where it's gone, but the last several years it's come along, I don't want to sin because I don't want to break the fellowship I have with Jesus. Before, I didn't want to sin because I didn't want a spanking from the Lord. Does that make sense? I didn't want to be spanked. And so it was the fear of the Lord spanking me that kept me in line. And it didn't work all the time. It just didn't work, you know. But now where I am in my walk with the Lord, I don't want to sin. I don't want to cross that line because I don't want to break fellowship with him. I'm addicted to his presence. I'm addicted to his love. I'm addicted to his comfort. I'm addicted to his person. And I realize that I can't do it alone. I must have him. But having him is so sweet to the soul that I desire more and more. It's like French vanilla ice cream. I just want more and more and more of Jesus. You get it? Love brings unbroken fellowship with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12. 2 Corinthians 1 and 12, the Apostle Paul writes to this church in Corinth, and he says this, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience." Oh, conscience can be a good thing or conscience can be a bad thing, depending on whether you're the backslider or you're the good man. Huh? "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity," that means without wax, without hypocrisy, "with godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward." We've had our conversation. What does a King James word conversation mean? Lifestyle. We've had our living, our lifestyle in the world. We've lived in the world, but not of the world. We've been separate of the world by the grace of God, by simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. So there's the good man, not living by fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, trusting him. Simplicity and godly sincerity, without wax, without hypocrisy. Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our living, our lifestyle in the world, and more abundantly to you. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust you acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Wow, what a difference. While one is busy helping people and maturing Christians and making converts to Christ, the others are consumed with the efforts of their flesh and the joy of their flesh and satisfying their flesh and their worldliness. And the backslider shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from himself. One other place, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, John writes about this fellowship of the Lord. 1 John 1 and 1. Here's what he says. That which was from the beginning, that's eternity, by the way. Beginning is eternity here. The same as in John chapter 1, verse 1. The same John wrote it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, talking about Jesus, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we've seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen, John says, along with the other disciples. And heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And a good man is satisfied from himself, from the inside out. And his joy is ever present because he loves to fellowship with the Lord. And he recognizes that this sin will break his fellowship. He's not willing to do that. He gives up his sin in order to fellowship with the Lord. Oh, is he sin-free? No, never. But there are some things that are major that he abstains from, realizing it's going to break fellowship. I love it. Love brings unbroken fellowship with Christ. You find it mentioned again, Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. Turn to Psalm 23. Notice the results of staying close to Jesus. The results of staying close to Jesus. The 23rd Psalm. Oh, well, yeah, that's the one you quote when you're dying. No, it's not. That's the one you quote when you're living. Psalm 23, look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, that's a whole lot different than the backslider who's filled with his own ways. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know what? In the presence of the Lord, even your enemies are weak. In the presence of the Lord, there's no fear. In the presence of the Lord, everything is taken care of. My cup runneth over. I'm wealthy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The backslider shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man is satisfied from within, from himself, and he dwells in the house of the Lord forever. I'm so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loves even me. Philippians, I'm finished. Two more verses. Philippians chapter 4, get it. Chapter 4 and verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And a good man is satisfied from himself. That peace that passeth all understanding, that individual that lives inside of every born-again child of God, that gives peace, peace with God, peace of God, that passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I remember when I was backslidden, man, I got frantic at times. But the peace that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the last one, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Look down in verse number 13. Here's the good man. Now the God of hope fill you. There's that word fill. Fill you with all joy and peace. Why? For what reason? Because in believing, that's faith, in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That says it all. That says it all. The backslider is filled with his own ways, but a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A good man knows where his hope lies. A good man knows who loves him. A good man knows where the peace is found. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Great. So there you have it. You have the backslider in his life, and you have the good man in his life. I would like to be called the good man in that particular case, where my hope and my peace and my love and my rest is all in Jesus Christ. And you reap it. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If you sow faith, that's what you reap. If you sow love, that's what you reap. You sow hope, that's what you reap. You know, you are the good man on the inside of this body that is not without sin. And you are the good man on the inside of this self-consciousness and emotions that is not without sin. You're one-third against two-thirds if you're a Trinity. When you get in the resurrected life and you get a new body and a new mind, everything will be in sync with Jesus Christ. But right now, you're one-third. You're born again and you're doing battle with your flesh. And you're doing battle with your emotions. And you have to train them to follow after the Lord. You have to train them to have faith. You have to train your emotions and your flesh to have hope. You have to train your emotions and your flesh in the Word of God to love one another and to love God. And what a joy it is. Amen? Let's stand tonight.